I'm interviewing one of my close friends from World War II. I believe he was a captain or maybe even a major. Jimmy Parker from Livingston, Texas. Okay, Jimmy, everything that we say is recorded.
Okay. Move this out of the way.
How many planes actually was in the mission of the Jimmy Doolittle raid? I believe
that's 16.
16 planes. And I believe you was number 9.
Right, number 9.
Roughly how many people were on each plane?
Five.
I had heard that one plane did not make it off the aircraft carrier crash. Is any truth in that?
Nope. Every one of them made it off.
That's good. You know, the years how you hear different things, yeah. And people add and take away from it. And I just had wondered about that. Okay. Now that it's over, all right, let me put it this way. Did y'all as a group volunteer, or did you sort of fill each one from different parts of the Air Force?
No. Our group was the main B-25 group that the United States had at the time, the one that was best trained of any of them. And they were told to, wanted volunteers to go on a mission, be gone 6 weeks, be per diem all the time, and when he come back, he had a little leave. But as it turned out, it didn't happen exactly that way.
It never does.
We had four squadrons there, and it was volunteers from each squadron. Each plane load was one squadron or another. All the planes were from this one particular group. Four squadrons there in the group. All of them were from different squadrons. We didn't have any problems at all. We were in North Carolina. It was cold, wet. The chance to get away from there was something else.
It got a little warmer before you got back there.
Oh, yeah, it got a whole lot warmer. A lot warmer.
Where did y'all, when did you find out what the mission was? Was you already on the aircraft carrier?
Really and truly, we weren't. General Doolittle came in and told us, as well, we're going on a mission. We're going to bomb one of our enemies at war and deliver these aircraft to one of our allies. So that is pretty hard to say. Couldn't tell where it was. But he didn't say we were going by ship or anything like that. He just told us that was what was going to happen. Of course, we didn't have too many allies like that. We didn't have too many enemies that far apart. But then after we got on the carrier, he told us, he said, I'm not going to tell you who we're going to bomb and where we're going to leave the planes, but here are the coordinates, such and such this and such and such that. And he looked at it and he said, well, it can't be nothing but Japan and China.
What time of the morning y'all did take off at mighty early in the morning?
Yeah, we were supposed to take off in the afternoon. Doolittle was going to light up the city and then we were going to go in and bomb the places where the lights were and what our objective was. But they saw this picket boat out about 8 o'clock in the morning. All at once we heard these aircraft going zoom, big old guns going boom, 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 boom. And they said, pilot, Army, man your planes. about 8 o'clock. And they started taking off, topping the tanks up, everything ready. Started taking off a little after about 8:30, I think.
Now then, I guess up to that point, if you were real scared, then after you once climb in, you sort of relax a little bit. Is kind of routine, or is it right the other way around?
Well, you're young and full of piss and vinegar, and you don't think anything about it then.
How old was you, about 21?
Just 21. 21 years of age. No, I was 22.
22, I've been 49 years ago.
Yep.
We've aged a little in the
just
last
slightly.
Year. I remember after that raid, before I went to service, that they had a war bond drive here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember, you were not here, I don't
know.
But we had a war bond drive, and Frank Fain, who lives across the street from Mother Dad here, he bought a $750 war bond, and somebody else, maybe Ernest Cochran, I don't remember. But to me, man, that was big as a national debt.
Well, I mean to tell you,
but there were lots of people there on the courthouse square, right underneath the red light, where they just shut down traffic for that. But it's a shame you couldn't been here to have seen that, because the Polk County turned out pretty well for you and the other flyers that made that. y'all flew in, I believe, fairly low till you got to the island, or?
Yeah. Not too high off the water. Just low enough to try to keep them from picking us up on the radar.
Did you have any particular places that you were going to bomb, or?
Oh, yeah. I just one of us had a spot to bomb. We hit Japan about 30 miles north of Tokyo. Here we are still flying low and seeing all these little planes flying around out there. And he says, damn. Come to find out they weren't anything but trainers. We hit Tokyo and then we got up 500 feet and started seeing this black smoke getting here and here and back here and all around. We knew it was getting shot at with anti-aircraft fire. So those things burst. Well, we shoved it to the top and went on and dropped the bombs where we were supposed to drop them and then headed out to sea. Just got over the balloon barricade and went out to sea and down the coast of Japan. All the way down, we see a fishing boat with old Scotty, our gunner. He take a few pot shots at him all the way down. We got down to the end of Japan. There's some islands out there. We saw four pretty nice-sized boats over there. Turned out there was two destroyers and two cruisers. Boy, their first shot at us blanketed the wings and the tail. We decided we better leave, so we started doing evasive action, going this way and that way. We got on around the end there. And the longer we went across the sea of China Sea there, we had to keep climbing up a little bit because fog was coming in off of the coast. When we hit the coast, I imagine it was about 9,000 feet, couldn't see anything. Supposed to have been a landing place there where we'd refuel and go on, but we couldn't find anything. We just kept climbing. And about 12 o'clock, one engine quit.
Was that fuel or?
Yeah, fuel. And a little after that, we decided we better start getting out, so Boy, that's a strange thing. Here you go through all this and then have to jump out of that airplane. Everything's not like you thought it was going to be, was supposed to be. And when I jumped out, I held on there for, seemed like an hour, but it wasn't that long. Shoved himself off and started hunting from a ripcord. Now that is really a funny feeling, too, when you can't find a ripcord. When I found it, I jerked it out and hit myself in the head. Had a big old knot there for about 2 weeks where that thing hit me in the head. When I came to, the parachute was hung in a tree. I must have made a real easy landing. I got up on a limb, tied himself in with that parachute around me as good as I could. Next morning when it started getting sunlight, well, I said, well, I'm gonna follow this little stream down the way. We'll hit something. It wasn't very long before I found an old navigator. We got tools, got together there. We went on, kept going. About 1 o'clock, we come to a little old village. We were cold and wet and hungry.
They're using China, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. We went into one of these little old houses there. Boy, they were giving us some cold rice, and we put some hot sauce on that stuff, man. You didn't need to have it warmed up. It was hot enough to get you warmed all over. All at once we hear some hollering and yelling and stuff. Here comes our old engineer gunner. Boy, he's having the time of his life, those Chinese. And we got three of us together there, and but after a while we decided we better go on down the river because it was still early. We started going down the river and come to another little old village there at about 5 o'clock. And we were really cold and wet. So we decided we'd stop in there and see if we could get warm. Maybe stay the night. We were just getting warm, nice and warm and everything, dried out. And here comes some little men with rifles pointed at you all the way around. You know what to think. They took our guns, what the 45s that we had, and told them, let us come go with them. We went down, kept going downstream and come to a military outpost. That's where they were from. They got us in there and we started getting warm again. And fixed us something to eat. Gave us a drink of sake, white wine that they make out of rice over there. Oh man, we were getting along good. We spent the night there, and then the next day the toads came on and we went to the capital of Hunan province. That's where they found out who we were. We got there and this Catholic missionary had been there for years. After they found out we were Americans, they couldn't do enough for us. Wine and dine and about anything we wanted. They told us not to take any clothing or anything away from the villages. Yeah. Well, it wasn't long before our navigator came in. Man, the gorillas had found him and they stripped him of everything.
Who did they find?
Our navigator. And boy, when the old governor of that province heard about it, he sent word to him, just bringing everything he took off this boy. Man, they brought it, everything that they'd taken off of him and more too. And old Doc Watson came staggering in there with an arm in a sling. And we were all ready to, all the whole crew.
That was your whole crew when you survived?
Yeah. And wasn't long before we had a big parade, sending us out of town over the hills in Rickshaw. And I'm telling you, you get up on this mountain, this little trail about 3 feet wide, you want to get out of that Rickshaw. We all got out of it and let them go on after we got down on the other side where it wasn't so bad. Well, we let them carry us some, but most of us just walked because it was a whole lot better walking than it was riding in that Rickshaw.
How many planes did not make it, or did they all make it?
Well, all of them made the raid. One went to Russia, and all the rest of them there just crashed. Two of them, one of them crashed on the beach, China Beach. One landed in the water. They got, the Chinese people got them out into the mainland and on through. But it was a long, long time to get through there.
I'm sure it was. Jimmy, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you taking this time to put this on film, because like I say, it, you know, another 50 years, this will just all be written down on paper.
Uh-huh.
It'll be,
that is right.
And like that clock don't stop. Thank you again, Jimmy.
More than welcome, Jimmy.
I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.